right. Another thing, we're going to start having Sunday school the first Sunday in October. So that means y'all are going to have to get up a little earlier. Yeah. Can you do that? You're going to have to be here a little earlier. 30 minutes earlier. 30 minutes? Well, we always get here at 10 o'clock or close to it. So we're going to start at 10 o'clock, I suppose. That would be the best thing to do, unless you want to start earlier. And we'll see how it goes. But boy, y'all just look like... See? Brother Mike ain't going to have no trouble. But it's, things will change up a little bit about how we do our service and everything. We'll just have Sunday school. We'll start. We'll have our song and just a few announcements and then have a word of prayer. And then we'll go to Sunday school about 10:15 after. And then we'll quit about 5 till. Everybody be in here by 5 till. And that'll give everybody a chance to go to the bathroom, whatever. And then we can have church and it won't be very different than what we're already doing here. So, I mean, for lengthwise. And I told you, I've been really working on trying to get shortened up here in my messages and get a little more brief, but you can see I'm struggling with that, so pray for me. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Okay, who's he talking about? False prophets. Amen. That's right. Okay. False prophets and teachers do not feed the sheep. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. They don't feed the sheep. And the reason they don't is because they don't have anything to feed them with. Yeah. You don't have, a false prophet doesn't have what sheep need. They can't give what they don't have. What do we read here? They're wells without what? Water. There are wells without water. They're an empty hole in the ground. You can throw stuff in it, but anything you take out is just going to be what you throwed in it, only rotten. You ain't going to get nothing out of it. It's a dry well, an empty well. It's what they are. Don't feed the sheep. Don't give. They just take. Give. They don't give. They just take. No matter what they do give, if it's not what the sheep need, it's not going to help them. And it'll likely be a detriment or damage to them. Y'all stand with me. False prophet don't feed the sheep because he ain't got nothing to feed them with. Now, he may give them something, but it ain't going to be what they need. And so it's not going to be good for them. We're talking about the preaching. What goes on at church. What comes through the pulpit. What is presented to the people as the Word of God or whatever you want to call it. They ain't preaching the Word of God in most places nowadays. Church is entertainment, and that's just all it is. I mean, that's just all it is. It's a club, a social club, and it's entertainment. You got your music, you got your drama, you got your games and your activities and your socializing and all of that. They ain't much feeding the sheep going on. And that's what Jesus commanded Peter. He said, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. That's the charge to everybody who's a pastor, a preacher, a teacher in the church. Anybody gets up to give ought to have something to give. When you get up and don't have anything to give, buddy, you're falling into a bad category here, an empty well, a well without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, they just blow on by. Empty. When we was working years ago, we'd be working and a cloud would come up and I'd say, look like it's going to rain. And Grandpa would say, no, them's empties. They're not, this ain't going to rain. And they usually were. They usually were. The older you get, the more you can kind of tell about that. Did you ever notice that? We work a lot and a lot of times we'll see a cloud coming up and say, it looked like it's going to rain. But a lot of times it just blows right through and don't rain. Don't rain. Clouds blown, they're carried with a tempest. They just blow on by. They don't have anything to give. They're empties. Now that's what the false prophets are like. But This chapter here is giving us a lot of information about how to recognize and how to discern between the real and the phony. What's really from God and what's not from God. See, people have a lot of trouble there, and we should not have a lot of trouble discerning what's from God and what's not from God. You don't have to be a devil. You don't have to be immoral. You don't have to be a rascal. You don't have to be unkind and evil and all of that to not be of God. He can look good in a lot of ways, but this here tells you something real important. Now, I know that it's a fact that most people go to church and they don't get a thing for their soul. I know for a fact that there's churches where there's somebody feeding, and people go there and they don't get nothing, and it's their fault. But a lot of people go to church and there ain't nothing to be had. There ain't nothing there. The preacher don't know any more about the Bible than one of our children would know here. And that's the truth. Now, I mean, you just got to get out there, and if you really knew how it was and what's going on. You know, he was telling me here a while back about going to a church. Some of you were. And the preacher didn't even know some basic things. The pastor of the church had never thought about basic things of some of the Bible characters and stuff. Something that our children have known from the time they were little and thought about. They're wells without water. They're clouds blown with a tempest. They don't have anything to give. They're just trying to do something that God didn't call them to do. A lot of preachers are preachers because it's a profession, because it's easy money. I guess I ain't never found that place, but some of them do. Lots of them do. You know, we talk about George Mueller at different times, but that was his father's goal for him. He sent him away to a seminary so he could be a pastor, you know, a member of the clergy. I don't know if it was Lutheran or what it was. I can't remember what the deal was, what denomination it was. But that's where he was doing all of his wickedness, in college studying to be a minister. Because that was a good profession and all of that. But it ain't a profession. That ain't where God gets his ministers. Amen. No, sir. When they're looking, you know, what they're lacking here is the thing most necessary for life. Now, what does a well give? Water. What does clouds give? Water. He don't have it. He don't have water to give. They're wells without water and clouds that blow by empty. They may offer the expectation of water or rain, but they don't deliver. Now, there's you something to think about. I've heard preachers for years. I've heard lots of people talk about revival. We need a revival. We got to have a revival. We need this. We need the Word of God. They talk about the famine, but they never. There's never anything there. They may talk about the prospect of it. Wouldn't y'all like to have some water? I mean, you can tantalize the sheep with the prospect of having water, but if you never provide it for them, you're an empty well. Yeah. Y'all understand that? They may do that. Now, what are the spiritual needs of God's real sheep? God's people are identified in the Bible as sheep. In the end, Jesus is going to separate the goats from the sheep. You know they all go to church together now, don't you? There's a lot of churches that ain't nothing but goats. And the preacher's a goat herder. He ain't a shepherd. Yeah, sounds real bad, don't it? But that's the way it is. Goats got a different appetite than sheep do. Now, you know these false prophets that don't have anything to give? They can herd a bunch of goats for a while because you can feed them anything. They'll eat garbage and be happy with it. Sheep won't do that. They'll starve to death without what they need. But water's what's missing. Water's a basic need, the very thing that the false prophet and the teacher does not have. The Word of God is represented as water. in the Bible. I mean, we're taught that. I'm going to read you some scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All right. You see where how the word of God is likened unto water. The water does a lot of things. It keeps us alive. It cleanses. The word of God is represented as water, you see. And water is the basic need. Now let me read you a verse here. It's Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Pour water upon him that is thirsty? What do you thirst for? What does your soul thirst for? What did David say his soul thirsted for? Yes, for the living God. Well, the word of God is that what he pours out on the thirsty soul. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. In Psalm 63 and verse 1, it says, O God, David said, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see? What do the sheep need? Water. What's the false prophet missing? Water. He ain't got it to give. He doesn't know it. He doesn't understand it. The word of God's really not in him. Now, you say, but preachers, they open their Bible and they read verses and they quote verses. And yeah, I've heard of Church of Christ preachers that memorize the whole New Testament. Yeah. And not have nothing to give. Ain't that something? The Bible is used by, like this, you know, in the news this week, I think some, several people's told me about Elizabeth Smart. You remember the girl got kidnapped and that nutcase that did it and everything, letting his wife out of prison and all that? Well, they told me the other day, I didn't see this, somebody's telling me about it, that they had to kick him out of the courtroom different times because he would come in singing hymns and stuff and he, quoting the Bible and everything so loud. He was a religious nutcase. But he used the Bible and verses out of the Bible to justify himself. And you see, the devil sends people like that and equips them to blaspheme God and his word and mix up everybody, you see. Well, you don't think he could send a false prophet in the church quoting scripture and mess people up? Think he couldn't be a false prophet that knew the word of God, but he couldn't use it to feed the sheep, but only to hurt them? The devil tried to use the word of God to tempt the Lord himself. It is written. Telling the Lord, Jesus, what the Bible says. Ain't that absurd? The devil telling the one who wrote the word, who is the word, what it says. So don't think that a false prophet is not going to quote scripture. Or don't think that just because he quotes scripture, he's got water. No, not at all. There's a difference in rightly dividing. There's a difference in preaching the word with the Spirit's anointing. It's different than just doing it with something you got off the internet or out of one of these sermon books they sell that give you a year at a time worth of sermons. You don't have to study or nothing. It's all outlined here for you. Just take it and go. Instant sermons. God, you think God's in that? No, it's that the only people that'll use something like that is the ones who do not have anything to give. The ones that are dry wells and clouds blown about. Ain't no water coming from them. Ain't no water going to come out of that. Mm-mm. Jesus himself said in John chapter 4 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Boy, that's different than that false prophet that's a well without water. a cloud blown about with a tempest, that's a different deal here. Jesus gives you water. You don't thirst anymore. After what? Water? No. After the world. That woman at the well was thinking of that water in the well. Jesus wasn't talking about that water in the well. Clearly, he said, if you had known who I was and who asked you for water, you'd have asked him for water. And I'd have given you living water. And that you'd never thirst. Well, give me that water, Lord, she said. That living water. The Lord's sheep need what water does for them. Refreshment is something that is needed often by everyone. Now, we know that you need to drink water. A lot of people, some of you, don't like drinking water. Well, if you got thirsty enough, you would. I know people, and some of you may be that way. You'll drink anything but water. I mean, sodas and energy drinks and anything but water. Well, that's why your health's going to crash on you, and that's why you don't feel good, and that's why everything about you suffers. You need water. I mean, it is most necessary to life. We can go for weeks and weeks without food at all, but we can't go very long without water. I mean, we got to have water, and we got to have it pretty soon, or we're in big trouble with our life. And it's the same with God's sheep. They got to have water. Now, they got to have it. They are sustained. Their life is sustained by it. And it's refreshing. I know I drink a lot of water, especially in the summertime when it's hot and working. I cannot go without drinking water. And I know how wonderful it is to get a drink when you're thirsty. It's refreshing. It just revives you almost instantly. And it's wonderful. And I'm thankful for it. But refreshment's something that's needed by everyone. Often. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 18. Paul said, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Now he's talking about people who had refreshed his spirit with the word of God. They helped him and refreshed him, encouraged him, revived him. Took away that dullness and that weariness and that thirst and made him perk up again with life. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Yes, sir. Paul prayed, "Lord, give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he hath oft refreshed me." He had something to give me, and it helped me, and it extended my life. It revived my life. It gave me health. It made me stronger. It strengthened me. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Now, God's sheep got to have it. They got to get something at church or somewhere that helps them, that jars them into the ability to think right. They got to have the right things to think about. And they've got to be able to put them together in a right order. Ain't you like that? I mean, have you ever realized that? I've realized it through my Christian life. I found a little book the other day. I was over in the shed where the planer's at, and I thought this thing was in the house, in the bookshelf, but it wasn't. I found it in a box over there, and it's a little notebook of sermon notes that I made, some of the first ones I ever did, all the way back in 1984 and 85 and 6 and like that, in a little notebook. And it's interesting to go through there, look at them. And I realized some things. There's some things I knew back then that I really know now. But I knew them then. But I didn't have them put together right. There's some things that I thought back then that I have totally chunked overboard and do not believe anymore. Yeah, I found out better. And you know how? Because somebody had some water and somebody had something to give me to help me to be able to sort things out along the way. Then in Romans chapter 15, verse 32, Paul said this, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. You see, in the early church, it's real clear to see that they got together and they helped one another. Not just with physical things, they did that, but they helped one another with spiritual things and understanding. You know, I've mentioned to you before about Apollos and how that Aquila and Priscilla took him in, and he wasn't preaching it just exactly right. He was mixed up about some things, and they taught him in the way of the Lord more perfectly, and he went about doing much good. I mean, they didn't cause him to stumble. They didn't say, you idiot, what's the matter with you? Are you a false prophet? You're a phony? No, they didn't do that. They just straightened him out. Since he was of God, he was teachable and would listen. That's one thing you can tell. That identifies people who are of God. You can talk to them and teach them, and they'll listen. And they're not bullish and stubborn and like an old mule. They want to know the truth. They thirst. They're thirsty. And truth, the word of God is truth, right? Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17. So the word of God, I mean, it's like one of the old preachers said, if you can't take a man and instruct him gently out of the word of God, if he won't receive it, you're dealing with a lost man. You're not dealing with a child of God. And I believe that's right. I believe that is right. And so the dictionary says that to refresh means to cool, to allay heat. Well, that's the way it is when you're thirsty and it's hot. That water just cools you off real soon. Part of being refreshed is being cooled off. Not your zeal taken away, but your clarity restored. When you get so thirsty and desperate, it's hard to think about anything clearly, ain't it? Yep. Besides, I gotta have a drink. Where am I gonna find a drink? I need a drink. And it just keeps getting increasing and increasing. Your thirst just absorbs everything else out of your thoughts. I mean, it just takes your whole mind and you start thinking about it. Something's gotta be done. I gotta have a drink. I can't go on if I don't get a drink. I mean, it's, you know. The drink, it solves that problem and lays it to rest. So you got a clear mind to think with. It means to give new strength to invigorate. That's what he's talking about that these people did for him. It improves by new touches anything impaired. Life here is kind of rough and it wearies us down. And serving the Lord and laboring for the Lord and standing against evil and fighting against the fiery darts of the devil and all of the things that he does every day to us to discourage us, we get weary. We need refreshment. And when you come to church, that's why. We have church 3 times a week so you can come and get refreshed. And when you go to church and you don't get nothing, man, that's a bad deal. It ain't like it's supposed to be. If you come and don't get nothing, that ain't the will of God. God set it up, and he appointed men to be there, and he said to them, feed my sheep. Make sure they're refreshed. Make sure they got what they need so they can stay healthy in their souls. And that's why he's telling us about these false prophets. They ain't got it. They don't give anything. And people dry up and starve out. And it's been a sad thing to me to watch through the years. Young people, I've known young families, even sat in this church and had great hope for them. And they were hungry. And they'd sit on the edge of the pew and listen. But as the years went by, and I'm not talking about that sit here with us. I'm talking about in the past. But, you know, they just drift away, starve out. They go to looking elsewhere for refreshment, for some relief for their soul that needs something that they ain't getting. Been a grief to me to watch that happen over and over and over. Water's needed for washing and for cleansing. We use it for that, not just drinking. We use it to wash and to cleanse everything. We walk in a defiled and a filthy world. And the water of the Word cleanses us. And if there ain't no water, we don't get cleansed. That's why in churches where false teachers and preachers are operating, the people get more defiled and more worldly and more carnal and more immoral all the time. Because there ain't no water. Yep. Pretty simple. It's just a very simple thing. Yep. You preach the Word of God, you really preach the Word of God, and it's going to clean up some stinking mess. Yes, it will. It'll clean it up or wash it away. Yeah. Sure will. We walk in this defiled world and we're defiled. And we're not only defiled with the filth of this world, but the minds and our morals and our philosophies and ideas are defiled in this world. You listen to stuff all week. You know, everybody here does. You listen to, you know, I don't know if you listen on a TV, but everybody listens on the internet. Everybody's plugged in. And everybody gets it from one source or another. Everybody here is listening to the world all week long. You listen to their, you may not have their albums and all of that, but you hear their songs and you hear their stupid philosophies and ideas and opinions and you hear their opinions about politics and about every issue. We hear them a lot more than you hear from the Word of God. And so you're defiled. All of us get defiled with that thinking out there. You know, and especially if you're young and you're just starting at this, you ain't stable enough to be exposed to all that without being affected by it. They put seeds in you and in your children that listen. You may be able to take it, but the kids, it'll get them. It'll get them. The philosophies of this world. And the Bible tells us, don't be spoiled by the philosophies and the vain deceit of this world, and the rudiments of the world. Don't let them spoil the way you think. Well, there ain't no way that that's not going to happen unless you're getting washed with water. I mean, you need to come to a church and somebody needs to preach to you, and they need to preach hard enough to rattle your cage once in a while. Yes, sir. I mean, you need to go out of church once in a while just shook because I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he would say things like that. How in the world can he think like that? You need to be rattled once in a while like that. And, you know, the preacher that loves you will do that for you. He will. He'll risk losing your fellowship and friendship and everything because he cares more about your soul and your future and your family than he does about his own welfare and you know, what people think of him. Ain't no preacher ever in this world been thought highly of for preaching like that. They don't. They didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't like Isaiah. None of them. I mean, Jesus told the Pharisees, you're the children of them that killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Because what he's saying, you're wanting to kill me now. I'm the Son of God standing right. And you're wanting to kill me. Go ahead. Do this like your fathers did. Because he was telling them the truth. And he was pouring water on them. And they didn't like that. Yep. It'll clean you up or it'll wash you away. That's right. John Wesley said to his young preachers that were training under him, he said, if you go preach somewhere and nobody gets mad and nobody gets saved, you didn't even preach. You didn't preach the Word of God to them. It'll make them mad or it'll cause them to get saved. I mean, go at it like you expect results. Water's the number one cleaning agent. Nothing else works like it does. And these guys don't have it. The false prophets don't have it. That's why churches get worldlier and dirtier and more immoral and they become dens of iniquity. Yes. And houses of whoredom. You say, man, that's terrible. That's what churches are. A lot of churches, that's exactly what they are. Nothing more. And it's because there ain't no water there. If somebody was doing some preaching and naming it, the rats would run. They'd run. They don't stay where there's a lot of water, do they? No, the water runs the rats out. Water is needed often, not just daily, but often throughout the day. It's not only needed for drink and refreshment, but it's needed for washing. Water is the basic element that keeps our body functioning. So the Word of God is what keeps our soul alive and working. You think about that. Water. The Word of God is compared to water. And, you know, you need water many times a day, not just once. We talk about reading your Bible in the morning. Well, is that all? Is that all you need? Read a verse in the morning, that'll do you, till tomorrow. Won't you try just eating a bite this morning, just a little bite? Get you a Debbie cake or something, and don't get nothing else till tomorrow morning. I'll bet you be a scrounging for something before noon, before 9 o'clock. Don't get you no drink of nothing until tomorrow morning. No, you know that won't work like that, don't you? You're going to be looking for something. But how in the world can we get by on the Word of God? How we expect our soul to stay healthy and strong and alert and keen on just little dribbles and sips now and then? Come to the water. What does the Bible say? And drink freely. Yeah. He'll pour water on him that's thirsty. You don't get a little straw. You don't get just a little taste, a little sip. No, he's going to pour it on you. You need a lot of it. We need a lot of water. Them guys are sitting back there and they're thinking about this. Ain't got no water in the house. Well, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. You need lots of water. You use it a lot. You use it for more than just drinking. But it's pretty important when you need to drink that there be water there. And when the water's off, man, we got a big problem. And we can't think about much else. If we were that way with our soul, we'd be in the Word of God a lot more than what we are. And we'd be a hunting for it. And we'd be a hunting for something to listen to. We'd be hunting for somebody, anybody that's got something to give. We used to listen to a lot more preaching than we do now. We did. I did. When I first got saved, I listened to preaching all the time. And I found water here and there. Yeah. It helped me. Cleaned me up. Fed my soul. Kept my soul refreshed. It's the basic element that we need. It's the purest liquid and does for us what no other drink can do. A lot of people prefer to drink other things that have more flavor or sugar in them. But those things will not quench the thirst and restore to your body what it needs. Now, when you're real thirsty, I know when we lived in Mexico, you know, the water wasn't so good and you know, you just didn't want to drink it. And anyway, what we did, ended up doing, you know what we did? Well, we drank cocas all the time. I mean, there was always, every little place, you were within walking distance of a little store all the time, no matter where you were, because people had little stores in their houses, out a window of their house and stuff, and you'd go get a coca. And so we drank that soda and drank that soda. The truck could come by our house, and, you know, two times a week or more, and go out there and buy two or three or four cases of sodas, and that's what we drank. And you know, I remember the night we stayed in that motel down there in Huetamo. It was 100 degrees, no windows, and shut up, and an iron door, and one little fan going in the ceiling, you know. And, oh, it's like being in a sweat box. No water to drink. And we drank sodas and sodas and sodas. And you know what happened? You were thirsty, more thirsty after you drank it than you were before you drank it. It did not take care of your thirst. And it won't here. Now, it may feel good while you're a swallowing her down, but when you get done swallowing, you're still thirsty. And then you're full, and that thing's blowing up in you, and you know, oh. And, you know, I got to where I was having, my stomach was hurting all the time, and from drinking all them sodas, and trying to get over the thirst, and couldn't. But you can take one glass, one bottle of water, and drink that, and your thirst will be taken care of. I mean, it's the only thing that does it. I like iced tea. And it feels real good to drink iced tea when you're real thirsty. Or lemonade. Well, go ahead, but you need water when you get done with that. You still need, give me some, I gotta have, you're still thirsty. It's the only thing that'll quench your thirst. Now, they can have all the activities they want. They can have all the music they want. And they can have all the drama they want. And it ain't gonna do. It ain't gonna satisfy. It ain't gonna make the souls of the people there satisfied and healthy spiritually. They're gonna be lacking. They're gonna starve to death on that stuff. They may shout and run the aisles and hoop it up and wave their hands in the air, but their soul is not being fed. It's wells without water. They may have other junk in it, but it ain't water. And water's the only thing that'll satisfy. Everybody's drinking these energy drinks now, and I've never drank one. I don't know that I've ever drank one. Ain't going to either. Don't need to do that. Why do I need to do that? We got good water at our house. Yeah. I can just, and it's right there in the refrigerator. All I got to do is get me a glass, just push it there, and don't have to. When I was a kid, we'd go to Grandma's house and we had to draw water out of the well, and we thought it was great fun to drop the bucket down in the well and pull it out of there. But I remember the bucket sitting on the counter in the kitchen. There wasn't no faucet. There's a bucket with a dipper. And, you know, if there was a fly in the water or something, you just dipped around him. And everybody used the same dipper. And I'm still here. And we never had cholera or anything like that. Never went to the doctor. Was healthy as we could be. But that is a wonder, I'm telling you right now. We was down in Mexico, and they said, we got a good well, get good cold water out of it. And they went off down there on one of them three-wheel bicycles with one of them urns on the front of it and come back with that good, cold, clear water. And it was full of wiggletails. And she got a glass, and you say, I wouldn't drink at that. Oh, you'll slop the cow manure out of the way to drink it when you get thirsty enough. Yes, sir. Just pour the wiggle tails off and go ahead and drink the water. Gotta have it. It's really a sad thing to me when I look out on people all around us and I know they're thirsty. And I ain't getting none. Makes me wonder why they don't look a little harder, though. I hear about people, you know, it's just like we was talking coming to church here. I told her, you know, how in the world is it? There's people that listen, and they get something, and they get help. Why don't they come and help us? Well, there's a cost. You know, there's a cost. Anyway, most people prefer to drink other things, but it don't, you know, a lot of times they work to do just the opposite of what your body needs. You drink a carbonated drink, it actually works against your body. It doesn't help your body. What's the word they call those things? It's a, you drink it and it takes water away from you instead of, well, it dehydrates you, but there's another word for it. It's what they do with these water pills and stuff. It's whatever they...
Diuretic.
Yes, there you go. That's what it does. You drink it, and it actually causes your body to lose more water than add to what's in your body. So it's doing the very opposite of what it should do for you, what water will do for you. But people will drink it because it tastes good. They'll prefer it. They'll turn their nose up at the water and drink the other stuff because it tastes better. Y'all listening to me? I mean, that's exactly what happens in church. The false prophet, he allures through much wantonness. See, we done been through that. He's got a different thing that he offers that tastes good and looks good and it's pleasant to the eyes and it's to be desired to make one wise and all of that. He makes it appealing. And they drank it down. Just like the Kool-Aid. Yeah. And it's death in the pot, but they drink it anyway because it tastes good. Feels good. That's what everybody wants nowadays, ain't it? They go to church, they want to feel good. I've heard them say it. I don't want to go away from church feeling miserable and sad and tore up. When I go to church, I want to come away feeling good. Well, ain't no way you're going to do that drinking poison. You know, you're going to have to drink water. And it's better for you in the long run. False prophets offer up other things besides the Word of God that are more appealing to the carnal taste of the listeners. But what they offer doesn't do good to their soul and their spiritual life. They offer up prepackaged beverages that are popular and appealing to the senses, but not good for the soul and the spirit. Now, if you can interpret what I'm saying, just think about modern Christianity and the way everybody's doing church nowadays and how what they do when they get there, what they do to keep things going and keep people coming and keep people giving. And, you know, you understand? It's not the same thing. They don't take the Bible and teach it straight on. They just don't. They use it to entertain and comfort people in their iniquities. They always make it out. So what we're preaching on Wednesday night about, and Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, about shall we continue in sin and all of that, they take the Bible and use it to make excuse to comfort people in their sloppy way of living. And pretending to be a Christian. And the people will go for that. I mean, that is the answer. If you want to know why people go to all these big churches and they don't get nothing there for their soul, if there are real Christians there, they get what they need somewhere else. They find a well somewhere where there's water and they get it from there. You know, I really believe that. That's why deals like sermon audio are going so big, because there's, I don't know how many preachers are on there, but they've got like 1.5 million sermons on there now. And people all over the world download them by the thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, if they're downloading ours nearly 1,000 a month, what in the world are the rest of them doing? There's people on there that get a lot more than we do. Brother Kelly's messages, they download them 400, 500, 600, 700 times, you know. But see, there's people out there that are thirsty and they're looking. They're really looking. They're not just going to church and saying, well, I didn't get nothing that time. What's on TV tonight? No, they're going home and trying to find somewhere, some water somewhere, because they're in a dry hole. They ain't getting nothing there. The clouds come by and they just blow on by. And nothing ever happens. They don't ever get anything. Water must be contained in order to put to use for drinking. Now, you think about that. You know, you just don't. You got a river. How would you do it? Would you get down on all fours like a dog and lap it up with your tongue? No, that ain't the way you would do it, is it? No, you get something and dip it out into something you could drink it out of. In order to drink it, it's got to be put in a container. It does no good to the inside just to pour or spray it all over the outside. It's got to be drank a little at a time. And we're talking about drinking it, what it does, the refreshing of your soul. Water washes and cleanses, but it also refreshes. And it's got to be, and you wash by pouring it all over yourself. You don't get in the shower and get you a cup and drink some, then get out of the shower and say, I'm clean. No, you don't do that, do you? No, you just pour it all over you, pour it all over you. And the thing we got to do most of the time with younger people especially is, that's enough, turn that water off. Stop. Because they'll just sit in there till they ain't no hot water anymore. But when they have to start paying the light bill, they kind of wake up about that. This is the job of those that minister the Word of God. It's got to be drank a little at a time. Now, you don't try to drown to everybody. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, here a little, there a little. That's how, you need to learn that's the way life is. That's the way spiritual life and growth is. It's not an explosion and a big glorious thing that happens every time you come to church. No, you just get a little here and a little there. You get sufficient. The manna was daily. You didn't get a week's supply. You got a day's supply. Enough to do you today. It was contained. It was a small amount. And you had this much. But it was enough. And that's the way it is in spiritual things too. You just get a little bit every time you come. First thing you know, it'll have worked in you and made you stronger. You watch children, they're born, and like, Dakota and Esther's baby, when a baby's born, they drank about 2 ounces or so for a little while. Boy, it ain't 2 or 3 weeks, you start seeing it. They start coming up a little bit. Then it's 4 ounces. Then before long, they're drinking a whole 8-ounce bottle at a time. Yeah. Their appetite increases as they grow. But it's amazing how they can take that little 2 ounces of milk and grow like they do. I mean, they double in size and weight and everything in just a few months. But it's a little at a time. Just a little at a time. Y'all understand that? Don't expect the universe every time you come to church. Just bring your cup. Just bring your cup. And get enough in your cup to last you till the next time. Take it home with you and sip on it. Don't use it to take a bath in. That's not what this is for, see? And it's the job of those who minister the Word of God. He gives the Word of God in measure or in order and in portions that all that hear it can understand and assimilate into their hearts and minds. Woe to the preacher who preaches to a bunch of hillbillies in a church like he's preaching to doctors at a convention or something. They said Finney was vulgar. Well, he didn't use profanity. He didn't talk dirty or low, but he talked in common language that the people could understand. He was preaching to farmers and sawmillers and trappers and that kind of people. And he just talked in common language, even though he was a very high intellectual man. He didn't try to bowl them over with his vocabulary and his high learning. He talked to them just like he was one of them. And Paul said he did the same thing. To the Jew, I became as a Jew. And to the rest of them, he said the same thing. That he might win them. That he might win them so they could understand the gospel, so that he could give them what they needed. So that's how he does. He gives the Word of God in measure, in order. He gives the Word of God in such a way that it refreshes and encourages the inner man of those who will listen. Water for washing is applied. About done here. Water for washing is applied and used differently than it is for drinking. In order for water to cleanse us, we got to be bathed in it. That means submerged or have it sprayed all over us. There's got to be some agitation or scrubbing in order for the water to do the cleansing work. Did you ever put a little boy in the bathtub or the shower and say, "Now clean yourself up"? Go back and get him. Is he clean? No, he ain't clean. He's going to be dirty behind his ears and under his nose, and he ain't going to scrub himself. Somebody else is probably going to have to do that for a little boy. That's kind of how it is. Y'all get me? Sometimes the preacher, if he's not a false prophet, he's got to take the Word of God and, scrub on you and agitate you. Make it a little uncomfortable. It ain't comfortable getting scrubbed when somebody else is doing the scrubbing. Is it? Why? No, it ain't. I'm sure you're past that by now, but I'll bet you he don't always wash good as he should, probably. You reckon? Am I telling the truth? You're not going to like it sometimes, what the Word of God makes you feel like at church. But it's good for you. I know, I've been there too. There ain't one of us that if you're on the journey here, if you've started on this journey, there ain't none of us that ain't felt that. Come to church and get preached to and think, you know, that kind of hurts. We there used to be, you got on my toes, you're stepping on my toes. Well, that means he's a scrubbing. He's taking the water and pouring it all over you and agitating like a washing machine. Because you can't get clean without that. These panty-waist preachers that won't say anything, they're not against anything. All they're concerned about is not offending anybody or making anybody mad, and they're just so sweet talking and gentle. They ain't going to do this. No, they're not. And they're going to let you walk out dirty. They're going to leave the filth on you. Well, I'm just thankful there were some that was able to and were willing to scrub on me a little bit. Sure did help me. Sure did change the course of my life. Yep. It takes a lot more water to wash than it does to drink. A little bit will do you when you're drinking it. It takes a whole lot more to wash you. And this is also a responsibility of the preacher of the Word of God. He's got to be able to use the Word as water for a cleansing agent, and then he will not be a dry well or an empty cloud. He'll have sufficient for the need. He can't be a dry well, an empty well, a well without water. He can't be that and do the work of God. False prophet. If these things don't happen and these things are not going on, you got a problem with who you're listening to and who you're sitting under. He's going to scrub on you, and he's going to give you a drink when you're thirsty. Man, I've known preachers all through my life. Man, they fit the bill. Had the same preacher scrub hard, and the same preacher give you a drink. Yeah. And he did it with the Word of God. And that's what they're all supposed to do. That's what they all do that God has sent. Every man that God has said to feed my sheep, if he's called to preach, a lot of them say they're called, but they don't do that. If they have really been called and God has appointed them and anointed them, this is the way it's going to be. Now they will do that for you. All right, let me read this here. Since there are so many false prophets and teachers in the church, that is an oasis, is a rare and not found very often. See? What is an oasis? It's a place in the desert where there's water and shade and a place to get refreshed and get what you need. That's what a church is, where there is a well and where the clouds do drop some rain once in a while. It's a place to get clean. It's a place to get your thirst satisfied. It's a place where your life and your soul is refreshed. Man, I wish I could get this across, what I really feel and know about it. I've been in a lot of churches. In years past, we used to be in a lot of churches all the time. There were churches you'd go to and you just left feeling like you'd been in a desert or something. There's other churches you go to, and absolutely, when you come away, you were refreshed. And it's the kind of refreshing that don't just last a little while. It's a well they give you. And, you know, you can go back to it later in your thoughts, and it refreshes you again and again and again. It's just like the widow's didn't ever go dry. Her cruse of oil, it didn't go dry, you know. It's what it's like. It just keeps giving and giving. Let me read you a verse. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said this, "But he that knew not and did not commit Let me get my eyes straightened out here. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes and shall be beaten with few stripes. And for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And so to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, I said that in light of the fact that a church that is an oasis, where there is a well with water, and where there are clouds that drop rain once in a while, those that don't, that do have a well, they're going to be held responsible for what they do with it. You understand the verse and what I just said there? I've really been blessed in my life that I've been able to be in a place where there was water to be had. And where you could get washed once in a while. See? Some people, you know, we're kind of like clean freaks nowadays, I guess. We all got our conveniences and we make sure we're clean. Sometimes, though, when you're unclean for so long, you don't even realize you are. And that's kind of how it is, you know, with the soul and the spiritual part of us. You get defiled in this world and you don't even realize it. You know, I hear people who are supposed to be Christians and say they believe, and I hear them saying profane words. And I don't mean to, I mean just words that I hadn't ought to be saying. You know, they pick it up from the world, these little words that the world use, and they turn regular words, they turn them into something that's nasty and profane. And I hear people using them. They're sitting in church pew. You're defiled, man. You know what you need? You need to come to church, and the preacher needs to pour water on that junk. And how does he do it? Take the word of God and show you how filthy and rotten that is. Yeah. The word's light, and it's water, and it shows you what that stuff really is. So you get defiled with the world, you need to have a church where you can come to where the preacher will wash it. I mean, he'll pour some water out. Amen. All right, let's stand. Amen. Wells without water. Sad, ain't it? The church ought to be a place where there's water for the soul. It's a place to get refreshed, and it's a place to get clean from this world. And Jesus is going to present us to himself at the church without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. There better be some washing being done.
Yes, sir. That's true.
Yeah. John the Baptist, what I've always considered him, the first gospel preacher. You know, he introduced Christ. And that's what he said. The Bible says about him, he came to prepare a people for the Lord. That's what we're about here. We're going, you know, this is what we're all about here. I mean, heaven is ahead. Judgment's ahead. Meeting with God is ahead. The great separation is ahead of us. There's a great change coming to the whole thing. And what we're supposed to be doing here is preparing for it. And what I'm supposed to be doing is trying to help you get prepared for what's coming. This is mighty important. Got lots of false teachers and preachers, and they ain't got no water. And it's not doing God's people. There's some people of God that have to sit under that stuff. There really is. Because the Bible talks about the hireling fleeth when the wolf comes because he don't care for the sheep. So that means that there's some flocks of sheep that have a false prophet for a pastor. Real sheep, but they got a false teacher leading them. Sad, ain't it? Yep. Well, let's bow. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truths we see here. Please help us, Lord, to keep them in our hearts and minds. Help us to give us understanding, Lord, for the future, that we could find our way in this perilous journey that we're on here. And through all this muddy water of this world, and hard as it is to discern things and stuff a lot of times, I pray this to give us some light and some understanding. Help us, Lord, to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.